the book of 2 Peter, and the message is entitled tonight, By Way of Remembrance. Remembering is always a good thing, and we struggle with remembering things. I know if you're like me, struggle remembering things. Just the other day, my wife was saying something about when we first met, and I hate when she does that because I get real nervous. She said, "You remember that, right, honey?" And there was a debate because I just had talked about not lying on Wednesday night. So do I fib on this? Do I the truth on it? You know, no. But I said, "I think so." And she says, "You don't remember, do you?" And I said, "No, I don't. What? Who was it? When was it?" She kindly reminded me of that situation, but being funny there with it. But you know that we have trouble remembering. Now notice Peter says, he says verse 12, chapter 1, verse 12. Would you turn there if I didn't tell you? 2 Peter 1:12. Notice what he says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though ye know them," he says, "and be established in the present truth, yea, I think it's meet, I think it's proper, necessary, as long as I am in this tabernacle," he's saying his body, "to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Why? "Knowing this shortly, I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." And then he goes into very famous portion of Scripture about not following these cunningly devised fables. But notice, Peter says, "I will not be negligent to remind you of these things." It's hard things sometimes. You feel sometimes like you're a broken record to say the same thing or remind somebody of the same thing. But it's a good thing to do, isn't it? Your kids especially. Reminding them to do certain things constantly. Peter says, "As my children in the faith, I am not negligent to do that." Now, we need to have our minds stirred for some things in life. We know that. We need to be mindful of the words that were spoken before of the holy prophets, of the commandment of the apostles. There are many things we must not forget. Let me say again, there are many things we must not forget. We must not. A good thing. People often will forget some details about maybe their salvation experience and other things and forget some details about some very important times in life. But we ought to, there's certain things not forget. A warning is also given in Hebrews concerning this. Now listen to Hebrews 2, verse 1. "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which is at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by them that heard him?" Now, it's so important. He says, do not let them slip. Really, people often will say, "I have a slipping mind," or "my memory slipped me." We've got to be careful about that. Now, this is why it's so important, that we must be reminded of things as we study the Word of God. I said this morning, you read the Bible. Yes, you've read Proverbs 850 times in your lifetime. Maybe not for some of you. You've read the book of Peter, first and second. You've read even the Bible through. If you're, as I said, that kind of that 5%er Christian, once a year you've read your Bible through. But you read it again. Why? Because it reminds you, doesn't it? It stirs you up, reminding you of what we should do and what we should be, all of that. Now, first of all, remember the simplicity of life. The simplicity of life. Very, very important. As Peter lays out here, he says, "Fellas or ladies or whoever it was, the church there, remember, I will be soon gone. This tabernacle will crumble and will be no longer around very soon. And I want to remind you of these things before I go. I want you to have a lasting memory of me." And what a challenge to us. What a lasting legacy or memory did you have of maybe someone that's passed, what our kids' kind of memory they're going to have of us when we pass, and etc., and so on. But he says this simplicity of life. Now, Paul reminds us of this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, we our verse for the year again, but he says, brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended. Notice, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we must understand, in this text now, notice he says, keep your life simple. One thing I do, make the person of Jesus Christ supreme. Focus on pleasing him instead of other people. Learn to live day at a time, one day at a time. Jesus said that to us repeatedly. Concentrate on today. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Concentrate on right now. Make focus of that. Is my life where it should be? Peter says, are you where you should be? Now, I will not be negligent, he says. I will not put it aside. I will not be unfaithful to do this. I will not be lazy to do this. I know that you'll roll your eyes at me and probably be bored and scoff at some things that I say because we've heard it 1,000 times and you're a redundant pastor and preacher and you say the same thing all the time. He says, but listen, I will not do that. Why? You need to know these things. Remember the simple things, first of all. Keep your life simple and by way of focused. Labor diligently. Labor diligently at what he's given you by way of your spiritual life especially. Number two, though, notice, remember to forget. Forgive and forget. Letting things go. Help us remember things we should remember. We need to forget some things, and that's very clear. Turn over to chapter 3 with me, would you? Just over a page. Chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, and the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. And he goes on and on. But he's saying here again, I will stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Do you know the surest way to have a better remembrance of the spiritual things or the most important things in life is to have a pure mind, free of contamination, free of sinful, contaminating things in our lives and that we watch and observe and we think on and all of those things? He says, have a pure mind. It will stir and help you with your remembrance. Now, let me say a few things here that's mentioned in Scripture. We must forget your failures and your sins. Forget your failures. Oh, yes, we should remember, right? Remember the Lord. Remember what he's done. But also, don't let the failures and sins of your life wreak havoc on your mind and get in the way. Because those things, isn't it so easy to remember all the bad things that happened? This morning, you probably, after the church service, you probably thought about 5 negative things. this, and they said that, and I heard, I don't know about this. I don't know if it's going to, But we didn't. There was probably 25 blessings we forgot to think about. I know if you're like me. Hey, we had a car to drive to church, and we had our health, and boy, we had this and that. That's just how we are as human beings, isn't it? We ought to be careful. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He promises never to remember them against us. What a wonderful Lord. Isaiah 43:25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. So very carefully, he will not. God forgets them. We should not be reminding him of them, right? Now, one thing to praise God for that. Lord, pray. Thank you for delivering me from that sin. Thank you for blessing me. But again, you know what I'm saying. God forgets them. We should not be reminding him of them. It is impossible to go back and redo it. Learn from your past. Don't waste time trying to relive it. It is possible to forgive yourself and go on. Forgive yourself. These are things I'm just trying to put a contrast here. We need to remember, but we need to forget some things too. And put those things aside. Yeah, you messed up. You failed. You weren't the top of your class. You didn't make it in this or that. You weren't here, there, everywhere. You failed your kids from time to time, yes. We didn't do all we should be. You disappointed your parents, yes, okay. But listen, you let those things go. Trust God. Focus on him. Forget your sins. Can I say forget your offenses? Forget your, not only that, your victories. Pride will defeat you. We know Proverbs speaks of that repeatedly. humility will assure you of greater victories to come. Proverbs speaks many, many times over of that. Forget your personal victories. Spiritual victories, yes, but personal. Now, forget some of the things of the world. Very careful. Numbers 11, verse 4. Listen to this. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, which was a lie, they didn't eat it freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. They needed to forget the things of the world. And if you look back on the things that you partook of in the world, they were pleasing. They were good, a lot of things. And that's what they're saying. Those things were so good. Now, was it good, that good? No. But you think back and go, man, that was, it's a fantasy, isn't it? They were fantasizing about things that weren't there. You need to forget those things. And as Peter reminds them of, he says, I will not neglect to remind you of all the things that you're supposed to be doing and that you should be doing. Can I say number three here? Remember God and His Word, obviously. Remember the Word of God. Now back in, if you would, chapter 1, notice what he continues with. Chapter 1, notice verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. That's a fairy tale. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And we read some of this last week. But this is true. He's saying now, listen, remember God, remember His Word, obviously. He says, in fact, in detail, thou wilt keep him in perfect or complete peace. What? Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. When your mind is on God, when you remember who he is and the promises of his word. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Remember. Remember. We have a habit of forgetting him. Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That's most of the nations today. That's America today especially. They forgot God. And by God's grace, we truly can see God has not taken his hand off America yet, but we've forgotten God. We forgot all about him. We're kicked him out of every institution we can think of. And just terrible. A book came out just a couple weeks ago portraying Jesus Christ as a transgender person. Just to be all inclusive, you know, we want to make sure. That's blatant blasphemy of our Savior. Now again, this is truly way beyond forgetting God, but they're forgetting God. We need to remember His commandments and do them. One of the things that's so difficult, remember the commandments and do them. How do you remember the commandments? We got to know the Word, Deuteronomy 8, 11. Beware that thou forget not, notice, the Lord thy God, in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day. Now, you folks don't even remember what we talked about last Sunday. I don't even remember. We think so often, but I've got a sharp mind. No, we don't. We're dull. But you think about it. What stirs us to remember? It's the Word of God, the Word of God. And the verses here we could go through. But we know this, that the Word, the commandments, they bring joy to our hearts, don't they? Joy. They guide us in and during persecution. Psalm 119, 61. They protect us from false doctrine. Again in Psalm 119. False doctrine keeps you from going to heaven. False doctrine keeps you from enjoying eternal life, we know that. And the life now. It'll wreck your faith, according to 2 Timothy 2. Now how do you get false doctrine? By not remembering the commandments of God. Somebody says something, you go, oh, that's not right. You know, how do you know? I just read it this morning, you know. Oh, they said this, but boy, they're a little bit off. They're really good people. We love them. And I believe they really preach the gospel, but they're off on this doctrine. Well, how do we know that? We know the Bible, don't we? So we think about here, remember the commandments and do them. As we saw this morning in James, be a hearer of the word and a doer. They encourage us when in danger. They give us life. Talking about the commandments of God. And then, can I say here, remember His presence. His presence. Knowing this, He never leaves us. He never leaves us. He makes His presence known as we love and obey Him. And again, the old adage goes, we're as close to God as we want to be. God doesn't move. We know that. It's us. You know, God doesn't back away from us. Now, if there's sin and other things, we know there's enmity, there's problems there. There's a thing that needs to be rectified, 1 John. But we understand that what? He makes His presence known to us. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like an eagle's. Isn't that the Lord? Just gives us and gives us and gives us and blesses us and takes care of us. He's blessed you too much. He's taken care of you too much for you to quit and for you to turn around and sin on Him tomorrow. He's done too much for us. And that's what He's saying. He never leaves us. And again, Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Philippians 4:5. Again, knowing He's at hand, knowing He's all that we truly need. He is there in the storms. He's there in the joy. He's there in the sadness. He's there in the times of discouragement. He's there in the times of obedience and disobedience. And thinking through many of these verses. But we must keep them. Again, remembering this. Let me say then here, by way of my last point, remember His promised return. His promised return. Very clear to us, God is returning for us. We know John, I won't read all of John 14, but he does says, I will come again. And if it were not so, I would have told you. Acts 1, he talks about going up. He shall come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. 1 Corinthians 1:7, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He is coming. He will come at an appointed time, God's appointed time. Now again, if you would turn over to chapter 3 again, thank you for going back and forth with me here, but he says in chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. What promise? Well, some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation? That's lifestyle and godliness. So just talking about His appointed time, He is coming back. His promised return. And these are the things that Peter is stirring the church up with. He's reminding them about. He says, brethren, don't forget, the Lord is long-suffering. He desires for all to come to repentance. We must be reminded of His second coming. He instructs us to occupy till He comes. Occupy. Thinking about this, you remember when you first came to know the Lord. Do you remember those times? You begin to grow in the Lord and develop in those first moments, maybe as you spent time in Scripture and in prayer and in church and listening to messages and other things. And those moments that stirred you, those moments that kind of, the little pricks in your heart, if you will, those little convicting things or those moments of joy that you felt as you began to grow in the Lord. And these are the things that Peter is talking about. This is what he's saying. The promise of His coming. He talks about all of these things. And he ends it with this. He says in verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grow in grace. Continue growing. Remember the things that I've given you. I've stirred you up. Thinking back at things, if you ever talk to somebody and they talk about the good old days and they talk about in high school or maybe when they were just married or something, it stirs them up, don't they? They get excited, man. They get the car they used to drive and other things. It stirs them up. You and I obviously know that as we think about and maybe talk about when we first got saved and when God began to work in our lives or whatever it is or the blessings that He's doing right now in your life. It ought to stir you up, as Peter said. Stir you up. And remind you, some of us need to be stirred up. not with some newfangled thing, not with some new doctrine, not with some new fancy preacher or whatever big thing that's shiny that often will come our way. What is it? It's remembering what God has already done. And it's remembering the blessings of God and the promises of God, as Peter said. As I'm still in this body, he says, I will stir you up. And by the way, he puts it away to where he says, I don't care what you say or think. Anyway, I'm going to say it anyways. That was Peter. As long as I am here with you, as long as I have breath in me and a body here, I will still preach the word and I will remind you of all that we saw as eyewitnesses of his majesty. And we know this true by church history that Peter truly went to his death preaching this very thing. Nothing fancy or anything of that nature. He just preached the word. He preached the gospel. And he said, let me tell you what I saw when I was in the Holy Mount there. And he reminded them of all that took place. I saw Elijah and I saw Moses and I kind of put my foot in my mouth and I said, should we build a tabernacle here for them and for him and him? And then a voice thundered down from heaven. Hear ye him, Jesus. He's what you need. He's all that you need. Peter preached this till the end. And you know that he was crucified, dragged through the streets and then crucified upside down because he pleaded with his executioner not to be crucified right side up because he was not worthy to be as his Savior was. But he says before he dies, remember the simplicity of life. Remember the Word of God. Remember his commandments. And remember this that ought to keep us going every day. He's coming again. He's coming again. Peter says, if you know he's coming again, how that ought to affect your conversation, your lifestyle, the way you live, talk, and communicate, and all of that. It ought to stir you. I want to encourage you tonight just with that. Remember the things, the simple things of what God has done. The best way to do that, really the only way, is spending time in Scripture and then asking the Holy Spirit to guide you and help you. Holy Spirit, remind me of the things that you want me to remember. Remind me. Keep me fresh. Keep it fresh on my mind. Amen. Lord, thank you for a time tonight. We can gather and look at your word here and just talk about and look at, Lord, how Peter really reminded the people, Lord, so clearly of the things that matter most. And we're so thankful tonight that we have the word of God, as we said this morning. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the church of God and these people that are so faithful to you, Lord, that come out each and every service that we have. And we do ask that you'd help us, Lord. Remind us of those blessings that were of the past. Maybe we forgot about that time that you kept us on the highway. And maybe we forgot about the time that you kept us from a horrific scene or something tragic or even, Lord, something small that we were praying and we were pleading with you to answer our prayers, Lord, because we didn't know how we were going to make it the next day and how you blessed us and took care of us, Lord. We ask and come before you tonight once again, Lord, and ask for your direction with our small church. We're pleading with you to show us what to do, Lord, this week and give us the direction we need, Lord. May we not make any decisions off of a whim or out of the flesh or because of something that we see and that we like, but Lord, it would be your perfect will. And we do submit ourselves to you in all of that. We thank you. Can't wait to see what you're going to do in the days ahead. And we praise and thank and love you in Jesus' name again. And amen.